Hello and welcome to the Boilers Extra Podcast. This is Sam King coming to you for the first time in probably way too long. I think the last time I recorded one of these was the end of last season after the game that the Purdue fans no longer want to talk about. And it was mostly about Matt Painter's contract and the fact that he was not going to be fired regardless of what people wanted in the heat of the moment. So I thought it was due time with the postseason now starting for the Boilermakers on Friday in Minneapolis for the quarterfinal of the Big Ten tournament to kind of just wrap up the regular season, some Big Ten awards that were handed out this week, and give a little look ahead to the Big Ten tournament and possibly to the NCAA tournament as well, as I'm driving as we speak to Midway Airport in Chicago to fly out to Minneapolis. First things first, 28-3 regular season, quite impressive. Probably better, even though a lot of people thought Purdue was going to be really, really good, probably better than you could have asked for in terms of you lost three games, they were all on the road, they were all in conference, and you win the league by three games. Can't ask for much more than that, even though after the loss at Northwestern, people kind of went off the deep end momentarily. But I think that was the moment where I sensed that there was a little something different with this team compared to last year. Because last year, losing at Northwestern, losing some other games over the course of the season, it really seemed to get to Purdue's players. The guys got down a little bit. Maybe, you know, especially when you're younger, it gets in your head. You take things personally. And after that loss at Northwestern this year, Fletcher Loyer kind of came out of the locker room and nonchalant kind of just was like, we know who we are. And, you know, this isn't a setback for us. These things happen. Teams lose games. There's a reason that nobody's gone undefeated in men's basketball for almost five decades now. It's part of the game, especially when you get into conference play and everybody kind of knows everybody a little bit and knows the strengths and weaknesses. And on top of that, Boo Booey had a spectacular day that day, and so did Ty Berry. So it wasn't a shock that Purdue lost at Northwestern, I guess. It may be so when you factor in that Chicago State beat Northwestern this season. But losing there, losing at Nebraska, which is another place that the Huskers were very good this season at home. And then I know a lot of people were upset by the Ohio State loss because of the record this season for Ohio State, but you could really kind of sense that the Buckeyes had all the pieces there, just hadn't put it together and played well simultaneously across the board in one game. And on that particular day, with an interim head coach coaching his first game, Ohio State was able to play very well and beat Purdue. And that kind of sent the Ohio State on a nice little end-of-the-season run here. But it didn't knock Purdue off its track. It, you know, the Boilermakers bounced right back, won the league, won at Illinois, which is the one that I know a lot of fans were eager to see, to find out if Purdue could go in that hostile environment against a team that has some perceived players that you don't like based on their actions and so forth and so on. So for the Boilermakers to win that, I think was a nice end-of-the-season moment to kind of cap what was a special year. And now you carry that into the Big Ten tournament, which is obviously a bracket that Purdue won last season. And I've seen some fans that are okay if it doesn't happen this year. And the reality is you go out and try to win every single game. You don't try to get bounced early so you can get more rest for the NCAA tournament. But this also does not affect Purdue whatsoever, whereas last year winning this Big Ten tournament really set Purdue up to have a one seed. I know it didn't work out well, but Purdue was still playing for something beyond the Big Ten tournament. And this year, Purdue's got a one seed, maybe the number one overall seed, regardless of what happens in this conference tournament. So that said, the Boilermakers go in with a little bit of momentum, knock off Wisconsin on senior day, knocked off Michigan State, knocked off Michigan, and the Illinois game that I mentioned. So you go in on a four-game winning streak. You have the Big Ten Player of the Year, which is no surprise to anyone. Zach Edey's going to be the National Player of the Year, probably by every publication that hands out a National Player of the Year award. And Braden Smith, first team All Big Ten by both the coaches and the media. All, again, not a surprise, though it wasn't unanimous. So there were some people that had at least five players ahead of Smith, I guess, on the list. But, you know, he got what he deserved. And I think that over the course of the season, the way that he played consistently and the numbers that he put up, that was an obvious choice. Very good for the team to get Lance Jones on the honorable mention, Mason Gillis on the All-Big Ten honorable mention, and Fletcher Lawyer on the All-Big Ten honorable mention, which I believe that means that one media outlet or one coach at least voted those players as their top 15 in the league across the board. So that's huge when you can say people, you know, thought you had five players deep that were among the top 15 in the league. You know, and obviously there's other guys that are good enough to be on there, just probably didn't produce the stats or whatever it might be. Trey Kaufman-Wren's probably good enough to be an All-Big Ten player and probably will be the next 2 years, but just with his role this season, that wasn't the case. So that was great recognition for all those players, as was Mason Gillis being the sixth man of the year. I think that was an obvious choice when you look at the efficiency he has shooting, what he does rebounding, defense, what he gives you off the bench, and kind of just being a starter who plays starter minutes, but he technically comes off the bench. And, you know, talking to him this year, I know Mason Gillis wants to start just from having talked to him over the course of the season and obviously understanding the perceived value that comes from being a starter. But, you know, everybody in this team has bought into a role kind of beyond belief almost when you think of the roles that some of these guys had in the past and the roles they have now, and they're content because it's for the better of the team winning a game. I think Matt Painter's probably done a better job than any coach in the country in regards to getting a bunch of guys collectively on the same page, buying into a role, whatever that role might be, whether that's playing 40 minutes a night or playing 2 minutes a night. And that's why the team right now is 28-3. But back to Mason Gillis, he told me on Tuesday he really kind of just embraces that role in a different light, where he could sulk that he's not starting or even that he's not getting as many minutes having to split with Trey Kaufman-Wren. But Mason sees this as an opportunity to kind of sit there for 5 or 6 minutes at the start of the game and get a feel for how the game is going. You know, maybe see something that you didn't expect that wasn't on the scouting report. It's kind of like a fresh scout to see, okay, is this team going to do what we prepared for all week, or is it throwing something at us that, you know, we weren't expecting? And then you get to come into the game kind of assessing that for 4, 5, 6 minutes and adjusting to it as you come into the game. And then from Purdue's vantage point, you're putting basically a starter in as the sixth man who now has this extra, I guess, knowledge for how the game is being played when he comes in fresh. That is a huge luxury that a lot of teams don't have. And I think the biggest thing that I've talked about this year, if you've read some of the things that I've written, is this team is deeper than last year and more experienced, but also more experienced together. And I think that you know, maybe the X factor in all of this, other than the obvious addition of Lance Jones, is Purdue hasn't used Camden Heidi a whole lot, hasn't used Miles Colvin a whole lot. And I say a whole lot in terms of, like, they're not playing a lot of minutes except for rare instances where they come in and give you really a really big boost and then you roll with them. But Matt Painter has those two guys in his back pocket. And I just feel at some point both of those guys have the kind of wherewithal to come into a game with their shot-making ability and their length and athleticism. They're going to change a game in this tournament when you have to have somebody step up and kind of have that, you know, not to be cliche, but that one shining moment. I see Miles Colvin as a guy that could come in and, you know, you need a big boost and he comes in and hits two quick threes, or you need a big boost and Camden Heidi comes in and soars above the rim and throws one down and gets the crowd excited and gets back on defense. Those are the kind of things that make a team destined for a long March run, which I probably will get into next week. But I really do think Purdue is primed for that. But it all comes down to matchups. And as of now, we don't know the matchups for the NCAA tournament. What we do know is the brackets for the Big Ten tournaments. And Purdue will play Michigan State or Minnesota. We don't know as I'm recording this at noon on Friday. And that is a, you know, probably a game where you'd expect Purdue to be better than both those teams. I think Michigan State is probably, if you're looking at personnel, the team that you would rather face. And I know that sounds wild that I'm saying you would rather face a Tom Izzo coach team in March than the Minnesota Golden Gophers. But I just think when you look at the matchups that when you look roster to roster, I like Purdue's matchup against Michigan State better than what Minnesota has, which is some guys who can really just light it up shooting from the outside. And that's been kind of the formula to beat Purdue this season, is to get hot from three, get on a big run, specifically like one player. It seemed like it was really one player for Ohio State. It was you know, a couple guys probably for Nebraska, but I know everybody points to Casey Tominaga. So you don't want to see a Cam Christie go out and light you up for 24 points in a matter of minutes when he's probably in reality their third most dangerous player. Michigan State obviously has some very good players, but the way that Michigan State has played defense on Zach Edey the last 2 years, trying to play man-to-man on him, it hasn't worked. Zach Edey's owned the Spartans the last 2 years. He's owned college basketball for the last 2 years, if we're being honest. But massive games both times against Michigan State in the regular season the past 2 years. And I think that Purdue would be able to get by Michigan State probably with less hazards than if Minnesota was the team playing and still playing for its NCAA tournament life. On top of that, though, you know, the Gophers are probably on the outside looking in. A deep run here could sway things just a little bit for the committee. But I would like Purdue to be playing probably on Saturday, just based on those two teams. And then you're talking about a potential rubber match, I guess, with Northwestern if seeds hold. And that would be one that I think there'd be a lot of fanfare for. Both games have been extremely high scoring. They've both gone down to essentially the last shot with two overtime games, and each team coming out ahead at home. So that would be a welcome, nice little tie-in for the Big Ten to hopefully get more viewers, get more eyeballs on a game on Saturday for the semifinal. And the winner of that, you know, might have the edge going into Sunday. I know a lot of people are picking Illinois to win the Big Ten Conference tournament. I honestly don't even have Illinois in the final. I don't have Illinois in the semifinal. This is a kind of a crazy, you know, the tournament is always crazy, but when I looked at that, I said, there's a nice little path for an Ohio State versus Indiana semifinal on the other side of that bracket. With the way Indiana's played lately, with the players that Indiana has, you know, the Hoosiers are capable of winning. I know Purdue fans don't want to hear me applaud Indiana, but the truth is Indiana's got a couple of NBA caliber players. It's just been, at times, different things, and maybe the biggest thing is inability to shoot threes. But I really think when you look at the path to have to beat a Penn State and a Nebraska to get into the semifinal, that's not asking a whole lot out of the Hoosiers. And then Ohio State, as I mentioned earlier, after beating Purdue, that kind of sent the Buckeyes on their way to a great end of the season run with Coach Diebler filling in as an interim head coach following the firing of Chris Holtman. So that would be a situation where that's another thing where you have two teams that essentially would be playing for the NCAA tournament hopes, probably did not have the season that people expected or that those players and staffs hoped for or thought that they were capable of. But the beauty of a conference tournament is everyone's still alive for the NCAA tournament until they're not. And I think that if you can get that kind of a matchup and a Purdue Northwestern, there's a lot of storylines that you could kind of tie into those semifinals. Can Purdue win this thing? Obviously, Purdue is, if not the best team in the nation, no worse than the third best team in the country this season. No, depending who you ask, it's a mix, a hodgepodge of Purdue, Houston, and UConn. So what really matters is, you know, 3-4 weeks from now, is Purdue still playing? Because that ultimately is going to be what this team is judged on. It's what it's been judged on all year long. And every time Purdue lost a game, which wasn't much, people were quick to say, oh, same old Purdue. Lost because it couldn't stop an athletic guard in Boo Booey, or couldn't, you know, take care of the basketball, turn the ball over too much. Yeah, Purdue has had been turnover prone at times, and when it has, it's lost. But when you're 28-3 and you look at the good and the positives that come from a lot of those games that Purdue won, I think that you say that's not who Purdue is. Purdue's probably leaning more towards the team that is typically around 8 to 10 turnovers, a team that's shooting extremely well from the three-point line, which is a major upgrade from what it was last season, and a team that has the most dominant player in college basketball in Zach Edey, and maybe the top five most dangerous player in college basketball in Braden Smith. And then from there, everybody just kind of fills in as needed, and you put together a pretty dangerous roster that I think, and even, you know, though the media isn't supposed to root, I think Purdue is probably a great story that the nation can get behind. It seems like, for whatever reason, that Purdue's become kind of this team that's given the Duke treatment, or the New York Yankees treatment, or New England Patriots treatment, where fans that aren't fans of Purdue are kind of pointing at Purdue and saying, that team wins so much, I'm ready for them to kind of fall off. And maybe that's mostly from a Midwest or a Big Ten standpoint, because that's what I see most, living right in the middle of it. But it just seems like Purdue's become kind of this hated, we don't like Zach Edey, and if he wasn't 7'4", and all of this is hearsay and just kind of silly arguments why you shouldn't cheer for Purdue. I think that if there's anybody you really should get behind, it's probably a team that has had a coach stick around for more than two decades, never had any sort of problems with the NCAA, really takes pride in trying to develop guys over the course of time and graduate guys from Purdue, which we all know, in the transfer portal era, the NIL era, it's extremely hard to keep guys year over year, and especially keep guys for 4 years. And what we just saw last weekend was a senior day with six seniors, and one, Lance Jones, obviously was a transfer in as a fifth-year senior from Southern Illinois, but the other five have been here for 4 years, or in Mason Gillis's case, 5 years. And that is why I think Purdue can do some damage here, not only this week but moving forward, is that continuity. And today you're trying to patch together rosters, plugging guys in from the transfer portal, trying to put star players together and make them mesh, when in reality there's a lot of guys that need the basketball in their hand to be happy. What Purdue has is a bunch of guys who are unselfish, even Zach Edey, who averages 24, 25 points a night, very unselfish. And if he goes out and he gets 8 points and Purdue is able to win, especially at this point of the year, he doesn't care. I assure you, Braden Smith doesn't care. He's had nights where he hasn't scored a lot. He's had nights where he's put up 27 points, 25 points. This team is all about winning, and even if it doesn't win the Big Ten tournament, I think that it knows the main objective is here a week from now, and that's when you're going to see the best version of this Purdue team, which, as Fletcher Lawyer pointed out this week, a year ago was a team kind of on the decline that nobody would admit was on the decline internally within the roster. But this year, those same players are saying, listen, we were falling off at the end of last year. We were drained. We were running on adrenaline at that point, just trying to get to the finish line. This year, I think the team is on an uphill climb, still kind of going, trending in the right direction. Hasn't played its best basketball yet, and that's what this week is about, and obviously next week moving forward. Now, when the selection show ends on Sunday, everybody knows that the 16 seed, or you know, the winner of a 16 seed play-in game that Purdue is going to end up facing, is going to probably have its own little video package, all the hype, all of the reminders of Fairleigh Dickinson last year. But we'll get to that when we get there. Right now it's about this week, and I think that it's a Big Ten tournament that Purdue can win, but that Purdue doesn't have to win. So with that said, I'm glad I was able to get back out and do this. Hopefully I can start doing this a little bit more. I had just kind of a whirlwind of life moments go on over the holidays with some family things, and then obviously, if you don't know, I was the sole reporter in the sports department at the Journal and Courier for almost a full year, and that took a major toll on me that I'm just now starting to get my footing and get kind of where I can plan out and have things going forward. So hopefully a lot more basketball stories to come before the season ends, and spring football also starting next week. Hopefully I can delve into that a little bit. But yeah, the plan is to come at you with some more Boilers Extra podcast, certainly not one a year, which is the current rate, but it's been good to get back on here and kind of just talk about this, especially as I'm driving through a thunderstorm on my way to Chicago en route to Minneapolis, and hopefully we'll have another one of these up next week before the NCAA tournament. That is the plan. So thank you for listening all, and sorry it took so long to get one of these back out to you, but you know, now that I'm grounded and in a situation where I can do it more often, you'll be hearing more of me if you want to, I guess. So I'm signing off here, and thanks for listening.